What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
There are a lot of flavors that can be accessed through just having a well-stocked spice cabinet. So looking at the spices that are available, and then you can make like Chinese five-spice chicken without maybe necessarily buying specific Chinese ingredients.
Welcome to Didn't I Just Feed You?
A podcast about feeding kids.
Hey, I'm Stacy.
And I'm Megan.
Today, we're answering a listener's voicemail. Did you know that you can leave us a voicemail anytime?
Now you do.
We'll share the link to our voicemail platform in the show notes for this episode. It's also on our website, but you can literally do it from any device, from your phone, from your desktop. It gets delivered straight to us. And as you might have heard, all of this month's episodes are community-based, from voice memos to emails to our community boards.
And speaking of community, we recently upgraded our community boards, the free ones, guys, the one that anyone can join to be a part of. So we're still using the same platform. Nothing has changed as far as how you log in or where you sign up. As always, you only need to just input your email, which we never share with anyone. If you want to join us, go to didntijustfeedyou.com/community and sign up for the free community and you'll be there. You'll sign up. You'll be dropped in. There's so much conversation. It is great.
We are so excited about this community month that Stacy and I decided to make a coupon code for anyone interested in joining the supporting community too. Supporting membership includes two bonus episodes every month, as well as an ad-free stream, so you can enjoy every new episode without interruption. We have other goodies in there like office hours. So the coupon code is JUICY, J-U-I-C-Y, for 25% off a year of membership at the annual membership price or at the monthly price. It's honestly a steal. So go to that site that Stacy mentioned, didntijustfeedyou.com/community, to sign up now. And don't forget, Juicy is the code.
Juicy.
Wait, I feel like we need to explain that we made it juicy because it felt like a big juicy discount because now it's just so weird.
Juicy.
And we did a little bit of debate, like Stacy had a different suggestion for the coupon code. And I was like, that doesn't make sense. But like juicy makes any more sense.
I know. I just let you have it because it was good.
At least it's easy to remember, hopefully. So people can, if they're like listening on their phone and they want to go sign up later, they can. They'll remember. It's big and juicy, but it's just juicy, actually.
Okay. So we recently put out a call into our community for questions for this month, and we got such an amazing response, so many questions, that we definitely cannot fit them all into a single episode. So we're going to pull a couple of questions out and do an entire episode on them because the questions are so juicy. I feel like this is like... Do you ever watch What Happens Live on Bravo?
I don't, but I have, so I know.
So at the beginning of every episode, it's like every time this word is said and he doesn't say the word, he just puts it on a crayon on the screen so that people at home can see what it is. And the idea is that you drink every time they say the word. So I feel like this is one of those episodes. Every time we say juicy, drink.
Be careful. I know. If you're listening on a Monday morning, that could be dangerous.
Okay. Anyway, we got so many questions that there's going to be a Q&A episode coming up. We've pulled out a couple of questions that were really juicy that we're going to just make single episodes. And I don't know. We've been talking about maybe doing Q&A episodes monthly, every other month. You guys have a lot of questions. But Haley left us one that got us so excited. As soon as I think I listened to it first, Megan, and shared it with you. And then we both were immediately like, yes, entire episode. Yes. So let's hear what Haley asked us.
Hi. First of all, you guys are awesome. So grateful for you. I really care about introducing my kids. They're really little, but introducing them to different food from different cultures. But I can't have all of the most authentic ingredients from every different food culture because I am on a budget. So is there a way to introduce different kinds of foods and talk about different cultures without being appropriate-y and while being respectful of those cultures, but maybe without always being able to shop at 14 different grocery stores to have all the most authentic ingredients? Would love to hear your thoughts.
Haley's question is really two parts. First, it's like introducing kids to new cuisines and how to do that in a way that's not overwhelming. But then there's also the budget consideration here.
Yeah.
So what's your first jump out of the box answer to both of those questions?
So I just thought the fact that Haley even asked this question was really interesting. So these are the kinds of questions you and I ask ourselves when we're wearing our recipe developer food editor hats, right? Because there is a responsibility for food media to be authentic is really the wrong word, but to employ a diverse set of people to be developing recipes and talking about food and to give those people the room to speak to it authentic to their experience, which may be traditional and may not be. So Eric Kim is a great example. He's a former guest. He's the author of Korean American, a cookbook that we both really, really love. And he writes for the New York Times mostly. Eric's authentic experience is combining traditional Korean food that his mom cooked for him with the foods that the American foods and fast foods and, you know, American flavors and multicultural inputs that he got as a child growing up in Atlanta. So that's what's authentic to him. And we need all those voices. And then there are people, I'm sure, out there writing like more traditional Korean regional recipes. And the idea is to be representative of all of these voices. But a little bit the fact that Haley feels such responsibility. I understand the responsibility of wanting to expose your kids to all different foods, but the responsibility of doing it in this way that is quote unquote authentic reminds me a little bit of, okay, follow me here. I don't know if this is going to feel like a side quest to get to the point.
Let's go. I love a side quest.
But it reminds me a little bit of recycling. So there's a conversation that bubbles up. There's a need that bubbles up in society, like the need for more diverse voices or the need for climate action because we're in the midst of a climate crisis, right? And the conversation trickles down to everybody. And so then everybody, the average person is like, oh, what can I do? And then I feel like the systems that be are like, oh, here's what you can do. You can recycle. You can purchase these more expensive items that are eco-friendly. You can do all these things. And as consumers, we take on this responsibility. And then it causes a lot of stress for us. Like, it costs more to buy eco-friendly products. It can take time to recycle. And then after a little while, we're like, wait a minute, I'm taking all this time to recycle. I'm like, does my town even recycle? Like, or do they recycle everything? Like, what's happening? Because the systems haven't changed. But this conversation, who's responsible, the people or the systems, which of course people run the systems, but like we're part of the food media system. So we think about this, but Haley's not. I feel like Haley shouldn't be this worried about, in this context, cultural appropriation. She's not a food writer.
And being correct.
Yeah. Like the responsibilities on the supermarkets, the idea of the ethnic aisle, what's available, what's the demand? Are you meeting the demand? Are you making it affordable for people to get all these different kinds of ingredients? Who's responsible for that? Food media, yes. And also, I feel like this is a blind spot in food media across diversity. No matter what type of recipe you are, no matter what your personal background, I think there isn't quite enough emphasis on meeting the needs and realities of the home cook. Like if you're someone writing for Bon Appetit, there is a time and a place for people to be like, whatever, I'm a chef or I'm classically trained and like I'm not interested in making sure that making this classical French sauce is something that's accessible to everybody. But if you're trying to say that you are accessible to everybody, even if you're writing traditional ethnic recipes, I do wish that there was some time and thought put into helping people and coming from a place of understanding that it can be really hard and expensive to invest in a lot of ingredients. But that's a little bit separate. That's my personal point of view because my work has always been geared towards the home cook and kind of the struggling home cook.
Busy home cook is what we refer to it a lot. Didn't I just feed you? But struggling is a great word for it. And in Haley's case, it's like also being on a budget.
Yeah, overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed.
Because kids, because time, because budget, because mental capacity. Like you're just at capacity mentally and emotionally.
Yes. It really is this thing where it feels like food media and food systems in general. You mentioned the grocery store, which I think is a really great example, have said because they don't want to be called out, they're going to do the work during their paid time to make sure that the recipes they put out, the content they put out is quote unquote correct and authentic as much as possible so that no one calls them out and says like, oh, you use this ingredient, but it isn't actually in a Filipino dish, but it isn't actually Filipino, etc. And so then it leaves the home cook very befuddled. Like, where is the medium place where you can have flavors and try dishes that feel adjacent to the flavors you're trying to create without going out and buying 12 new ingredients for one dish?
Well, it's funny because I do think that there's a little bit of, and you can see this historically in food media, a little bit of a divide between self-taught food writers and recipe developers and ones who come out of culinary school. Mm-hmm. You're an exception. You came out of culinary school. I'm self-taught. Some of our most prominent food writers, Julia Childs, Mark Bittman, Ruth Reichel, Melissa Clark, like these are all self-taught. They all hone their chops by developing recipes, studying, honing their chops in test kitchens. And I feel like a lot of their work orients towards and around home cooks. And that's my background too. I think that's your background despite being from culinary school. That's why, I mean, because you feel that way, that's why we love Eric Kim so much too. Eric Kim is also not a culinary school grad. He also is self-taught. And I think he's thinking about like just what tastes good, what's fast, what's easy. Like he's a young guy living out in the world who loves Korean food, who loves American food, and is like, this is what I whip up real fast. And it's so smart and delicious.
ButcherBox is our secret to better back pocket meals on the fly during busy seasons like spring. They make it easy to choose a box of our family's favorite proteins that get delivered straight to our door. With the freezer stocked with 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood, there's no running to the store for last-minute dinner ingredients. Plus, with free ground beef for life, we know that when meetings or soccer practice run late, we always have a reliable family favorite on hand for a quick dinner with ButcherBox's high-quality meats and a few pantry staples. That's right. ButcherBox is giving our listeners free ground beef for the life of your membership, plus an additional $20 off your first order. Visit butcherbox.com/DIJFY and use code DIJFY to get free ground beef for life, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/DIJFY and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Stacey, I don't know about you, but I've been in a major spring cleaning mode, including purging and organizing my closet. I'm putting away winter sweaters and donating things that don't work for me anymore. But I'm so excited to be pulling out some of my favorite items from Quince to put back into rotation.
Totally. I love the pieces that I bought from Quince last year, too. And neither of us should really be surprised. We love Quince for their quality. And by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
Which means I can actually add some pieces back to my closet after my spring clear out. I love the linen pants and top I got last season so much, but my next purchase is one of Quince's gorgeous 100% washable silk skirts.
Oh, that's so pretty. And the best part? All Quince items, from silk to 14 karat gold, are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. That's why I snagged my favorite oversized cashmere boyfriend cardigan from Quince instead of any other brand.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/DIJFY for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You, to get free shipping and 365-day returns. This episode of Didn't I Just Feed You is sponsored by By Heart. Longtime listeners know that Stacey and I both struggled with infant feeding stages with all our kids. Breastfeeding was hard, and choosing a formula was, well, also hard. We're thrilled to be working with By Heart, an infant nutrition company on a mission to make the best formula in the world. Not only is By Heart an easy-to-digest formula, their formula is also clinically proven for easier digestion, less spit-up, and softer poops versus leading infant formula. By Heart has their own patented protein blend that includes prebiotics and an 80-20 whey to casein ratio, just like in early breast milk, which is tailor-made for a newborn's digestive system. Curious about By Heart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code DIJFY for a limited time. That's byheart.com/podcast and code DIJFY, short for Didn't I Just Feed You? Additional terms and conditions apply.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, king of the gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what's bubbling up for me here is Eric has done a really good job of writing himself a permission slip when no one else did. He's like, this is what I know and love.
Great way of putting it. And so this is what I'm going to do.
And this is what I'm going to do. Because like, actually, in your own home kitchen, you make the rules. There are no rules. No one is going to be there and write you a ticket or a fine for using the wrong ingredient in a dish.
I think this is genius, Megan. And he actually goes online sometimes and talks about the criticism he'll get, even from Korean and Korean Americans, because they're like, what is this? And you're right. He's like, what is this? This is what I eat. This is what I was inspired to make. That's
and
what
not
it
for
is.
Nothing. It tastes delicious too.
Yeah, always.
Like, I'm not going to give you bad directions.
Yeah. Like, I'm good at my job and this is what I was inspired to create. So I think that you're so right. And I think that that's a really great punctuation on this part of the conversation. Like, you have a permission slip. If you're even asking the question and you have the desire to learn about what's authentic and to maybe experiment with one ingredient that you happen to find or that you can afford in one like round of grocery budgeting, like you're already ahead of the game. Your kids don't know that this was made with, I don't know, like lemongrass instead of lime zest. You know what I mean?
Yeah, galangal instead of ginger. Right. Like you're using right. what is available to you.
That's not the point. You're already doing the job by trying to cook with it. You know, and then I think like if you have the desire or the interest to start experimenting with different ingredients and different things, like we're going to also talk about how to maybe start building a global pantry in a more affordable and manageable way.
Yes. So first step is a permission slip. Second step, I think, is a little bit of focus. And Stacey, you can feel free to agree or disagree with me here. But I think that the focus could be on like a singular recipe source that's very trusted, because you might go down a rabbit hole of wrong information or misinformation if you're maybe not using like an Eric Kim recipe, but you're just using some random blogger on the internet's Korean American recipe, and or a laser focus on a singular cuisine so that you're not getting overwhelmed trying to build a Korean pantry and also a Japanese pantry and a Filipino pantry at one time. Even though there may be some ingredient overlap, like focusing on one cuisine at a time, I think will reduce the overwhelm.
I also think putting on my child development hat, which I haven't done in a long time, it actually makes sense also for the way that kids learn, especially younger kids, instead of like Indian one night and Japanese another night, which can be also just overwhelming if you have young kids and they're a little bit pickier and you're trying to also not just expand their cultural awareness, but their palates. Just going deep instead of going shallow and wide, like going deep on a singular cuisine, I think is a great way to learn. And that goes for your kids' exposure and understanding of the culture, and also goes for you when you're cooking, because I'm going to assume that if Haley and other people listening are interested in quote unquote authentic ingredients, then they might also be interested in authentic cooking techniques, right? And like that takes practice, like doing it over and over again. Like I really love Japanese food and Japanese home cooking. Like it takes a while. And sometimes there are even special tools, you know, like everything from a paella pan in Spain to a wok in a lot of Asian countries to donburi pot in Japan. Like they're just, you know, that you're not going to invest in. Even you and I don't. So there's a little bit of a learning curve, and being able to repeat recipes and then play with one ingredient. Let's say you invest in dashi powder. You know, you're going to get more than you need for your one recipe. But then how do you use dashi powder in that recipe and in this recipe and that recipe? And now you understand how dashi powder works. Now maybe you're going to improvise and you're just going to make a noodle soup for yourself. Like your mom's classic noodle soup. I don't know. And maybe you're like, oh, let me use a little bit of that dashi powder. That might give it like a depth of flavor that I think is interesting. And you'll like actually learn how to improvise and also use up the ingredients that you invest in, because it's not just the upfront money. We talk about this all the time. You know, saving your grocery budget isn't just about what you spend at the register. It's also about making sure that you use it all up.
Yes. And when we talk about exposure, whether it's vegetables or flavor profiles, we talk about this idea of exposure and how you need several exposures to get kids to know, trust, and like an ingredient or a flavor. So this idea of taking something like miso paste or dashi powder and using it in dishes that are familiar, so then it's not even authentic at all, is doing what Haley's setting out to do, which is expose her kids to new flavors and new ingredients. And then later when they go out to eat and there's miso soup on the menu, they you can say, oh, we had a soup like this. It was the chicken noodle miso soup that we had 2 weeks ago. And it feels more familiar to them. And Haley mentioned her kids are young. So I think this kind of exposure is really helpful and important too.
Oh my God, this conversation is so exciting to me for some reason. I feel so nerdy. I also feel like I don't know why it's turning out to be a love letter to Eric. We're going to have to send this episode to him when it publishes. But like, then also thinking about ingredients that cross some multiple cultures or that have become popular in the American cultural food lexicon can also help with exactly what you're saying. So I'm thinking about gochujang, right? Which has become really popular. I feel like everybody's talking about it. I feel like it's because of Eric Kim, too. But, like, I'll give him all the flowers. I just give him all the credit.
Yeah, I think he gets a gold, like, he gets the credit for that, right?
Right, because even just thinking about his recipe, it's gochujang buttered noodles.
Or gochujang cookies.
Yes. Right? Where, like, now you're taking an ingredient. There's an authentic or traditional. I need to get better at using traditional in place of authentic. There's a traditional way to use it. But because it's become popular, A, it's probably now available in your mainstream supermarket, which makes it easier to get and maybe more affordable. That's a question mark. And now there's all these fun different ways to use it so that A, you'll use it up, and B, you're getting to this exposure thing that Megan was just talking about.
Yes. We have to talk about eating out, too, as an option for checkmarking the exposure. I know we have, like, slightly different viewpoints on this from a budget standpoint, but especially if you have, like, really young kids, it might be worthwhile to take some of your food budget into eating out and learning what dishes your kids actually like and you actually like versus taking that food budget and spending it at the Asian market and buying ingredients that you don't know if anyone loves.
Yeah, I don't think we disagree. I just wanted to make sure that we give other options as a way in, because takeout and eating out is not always in the budget for a lot of people.
Yeah, it's expensive.
It's expensive. And also when you do go out, especially if you're like budgeting only once every 2 weeks, you're going to do takeout. The idea is to give yourself a break. And if you're going, if your kid's like, I don't like Indian food, or I'm nervous about Indian food, and you go to an Indian restaurant or get Indian takeout, you have a meltdown, it's not the break that you thought you were going
to
get.
That's such good articulation of something that we know to be true. And I've never really like put into words, like most of the time when you're going out, you want it to be a break. And we're asking you, or we're saying, hey, instead of it being a break, make it a learning experience.
Yeah,
it's more work for you.
Yes, but I do think it's a good suggestion, and I do think it's wise. I just think it depends on, you know, who your kids are, what their exposures are, how curious they are, how old they are.
We know you're seeing all the Mother's Day gift guides everywhere, and while we usually do some Didn't I Just Feed You version, this year we have the one perfect Mother's Day gift that works for everyone, even our last-minute shoppers, MyLifeInABook.com.
MyLifeInABook.com is a unique service that turns the life stories of people you love into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send your gift recipient a question via email. These can be pre-written questions that they provide, or you can customize the questions the way that I did for my mom. Your recipient can either type her response or use their voice-to-text feature. MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book.
I'm really excited to be creating a book with my own mom this year, and I can't wait to hear some of her childhood memories, what it was really like raising three kids as a single mother, and how she's enjoyed becoming a grandmother too.
And when the book is done, you'll have a beautiful keepsake for her and for you too. You can even choose to have an audiobook created from the recordings. It's easy to sign up, and the process is automated, so you don't have to worry about missing a week.
Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code DIJFY at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code DIJFY for 10% off today. Both Stacey and I have shared our own candid experiences with mental health and helping our families deal with their own. We both know firsthand that if you have ADHD, it can be overwhelming to find the right treatment. That's why we're glad to partner with Dunn. In just 1 minute, Dunn's online assessment can help kickstart your ADHD treatment journey. With experienced clinicians, worry-free refills, and online visits, you can start getting personalized care as soon as tomorrow. Take a free 1 minute assessment and book an appointment with a licensed ADHD clinician as soon as the next day. Get continuous care, one-click refills, insurance coverage, and 24/7 care team support with Dunn for just $79 a month, and pharmacy copays as low as $0. Unlock your path to better focus now at get.dunnfirst.com/podcast. Dunn, turn ADHD into your strength.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Once upon a time, the Greek myths helped us understand the world and our place within it. They still do.
Zeus, we have finished your weapons.
Thunderbolts, just as I saw in my vision.
Whoa, that almost hit me.
Need to improve my aim.
To not hit me, right?
Live from Mount Olympus spins these ancient tales for today's tweens and their grown-ups.
I, Zeus, King of the Gods, command that you listen to Live from Mount Olympus wherever you get your podcasts.
So then the other thing I want to hit on here is the grocery store. I personally have a lot of beef with my beloved Publix because they still have this sort of like ethnic aisle in the grocery store, which makes it hard to find things. Like, I was looking for malt vinegar once, and it wasn't like malt vinegar. It wasn't with the vinegars, but it was like in the English ingredient section of the ethnic aisle. That's so,
so many
stupid,
people are good,
by the way. Brian loves fish and chips. That's why I'm buying it.
Listen, I was like, is that literally the only thing that people, fish and chips, cook at home? I want to know. Sorry, people from England. I'm not hating on your food.
So Haley sort of mentioned indirectly this idea of like having to go out and source all these ingredients from specific stores. And if I'm writing another permission slip here, it's to just use what's available to you at your regular grocery store. You know, we have a Walmart very close to us, and they have a really great, like, they have a lot of ingredients. They have the gochujang. They have the miso paste. They have hoisin. They have mirin. There's so many ingredients available to me at Walmart, and I imagine that that's true across the country. Mostly, or you can request ingredients. So instead of feeling like you have to go out and shop somewhere else, reverse engineer it and see what's available at your grocery store and what recipes you can make based on those ingredients as a starting point.
Yes, I think that's really smart. And I think that that's where you're going to also find those ingredients that we were just talking about that kind of cross, in some cases, cross cultural lines, or have become so popular that you're going to be able to use them in other recipes that you find online because they're kind of gone mainstream. I also want to plug online shopping. So listen, this is not taking like budget into super consideration, but assuming that you do want to start slowly building a pantry around a particular cuisine. And like, let's say it's Japanese food, you can get miso paste and you can get mirin and rice vinegar at most conventional grocery stores. But you can't get the ingredients to make a homemade dashi or dashi powder at a conventional grocery store anymore. So that's when you might hit Amazon or an online provider of groceries. And what I like about it is that, yes, you're spending money and you're spending money on shipping, but it saves you time, and time is money. And sometimes I came into this episode recording feeling
really confident about this statement. And then as I pulled up some of my favorite online grocery providers, I was like, oh, ooh, strawberry gochujang. Let's put it in the cart. I was going to say confidently that you reduce the amount of impulse purchasing as you're walking the aisles. And you're like, oh, you know, Pocky in every flavor imaginable and Kit Kats and ooh, shrimp chips, yummy, you know, and then all of a sudden you're spending a whole bunch of money that you didn't anticipate. I think that happens maybe a little less when you go to these stores, maybe not as much as I originally thought.
I do think that's true. We are impulse shoppers because our brain is wired where we're like, oh, like it's a write-off, it's research. Whereas I don't think Haley's having that same experience. And if she's already overwhelmed, she's probably going to a new mommy cart, as an example, and looking for exactly the ingredients that she needs to yes. put in her cart.
Yes.
So she's not like adding the shrimp chips to her cart and overspending. I think it's
oh
a great
my God.
Technique, even if you can't use it.
What are some of your favorite online grocery stores for ingredients that are hard to find?
So I fully admit to only using Amazon and Umami Cart as my options.
Okay.
Because we do have a really wonderful, it's called Asian Food and Gifts, and they carry a lot of ingredients from a lot of cuisines, and it's close to me. So I'm more likely to go there and just grab the ingredients that I need. But that's different than what Haley's looking for. What about you? Do you have other sources?
So I love Umami Cart for sure. I recently found KimCMarket.com. So Kim, the name, the letter C, Market. And that has a lot of Korean ingredients. There are a couple of others. Sarap Now, S-A-R-A-P Now, is a lot of Filipino ingredients. And then Kesar Grocery, K-E-S-A-R, grocery.com, has a lot of South Asian and Indian ingredients, like masalas and teas and different spices. I wish I had found a specific Thai market, but I do have a Thai market near my house that I love. So that's not something I go for. And then I have to say, which brings me back around to thinking about what cuisines you want to experiment with. Like if you're very, very curious about cooking all different cuisines and you feel like you have choices and you're like, oh my gosh, where should I start? There are some cuisines that really don't require that much specialty stuff. So there's a Greek cookbook author and writer, Diane Koukchilas. And she has a store on her site that I go to for some Greek ingredients. But like, as I was really looking through it in advance of recording this episode, I was like, you don't need this stuff to experiment with Greek food. Like, you really don't. Like, some of it is just going to be like higher quality or has nostalgia for me. You know, like there are very few ingredients. It's like sea salt from Greece or olive oil from Greece or capers from Santorini. You don't need capers from Santorini to make Greek food and to make really delicious Greek food. So thinking about the cuisines that don't call for a lot of ingredients that are hard to find is also a possibility and a place to start.
Yes. I'm so glad you said that because it made me think also of spices. Like yeah. we've been talking about specific ingredients like mirin or hoisin, but there are a lot of flavors that can be accessed through just having a well-stocked spice cabinet.
Totally.
So looking at the spices that are available, and then you can make like Chinese five-spice chicken without maybe necessarily buying specific Chinese ingredients.
Yeah, it actually makes me think of an ingredient that I became obsessed with at some point, like many years ago, asafoetida. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's a spice that people say makes their Indian food taste authentic. It's actually, I think it's a gum resin.
It is.
Right?
Yep.
And like from an herb that's related to celery.
Yes.
Anyway, Yes. When you're a food nerd like me, when you're developing recipes, when you're cooking because you're trying to really understand what's the difference between a dish made with asafoetida and one made without, and like, does that matter for home cooks, which is always my lens, I can taste the difference. And if I have the budget and it's also a tax write-off, and I'm also going to find all these different ways to use it. And I don't know, I'm a white lady. Like, you might speak to, you know, an Indian home cook who's like, actually, like, it really does make a difference. And like, I believe that and I stand corrected. But when I'm talking to Haley, who's trying to just experiment in her home and like doesn't have the budget or the time to go out and find these specialty ingredients, it's okay. Like, it would be my responsibility, going back to the top of the episode, not to write a recipe that calls for asafoetida and then say as a white lady, guess what? You don't need it. It's fine. I'm not doing that. I'm not publishing that recipe. I don't want to be put in that position. It's not for me to say, but I am saying it to Haley because she's asking, and find the recipes. You can find a lot of recipes from, I'm sure, even Indian home cooks who will teach you how to make the recipe without using it. And like, that makes a big difference. It's expensive. And it's really hard to find.
And it goes back to the what you do in the privacy of your own kitchen is truly none of our business.
That's right. That is right. And like, that's what we're talking about here. And I do think that also, again, circling back to the top of the episode, the food is just one piece of this. You know, if we want to introduce our kids to a global world and to have a more global and inclusive perspective, making the perfect, most authentic, traditional curry is not the thing. It's about how you speak in your home. It's about who your friends are, who you bring into your home, who you open your doors to, what conversations you're willing to have. That's the real meat of it. And I would say, like, put your energy towards that, not like finding that grocery store that's 45 minutes away to get that one ingredient.
Listen, that could have been the whole episode. So I think that's like, that's it.
That's it.
Haley, thank you so much for your question, for being vulnerable with us and taking the time to even leave us a voice memo. It's hugely inspiring to us. Like, that's why we got so excited. So listen, we want y'all, all of y'all, in our Didn't I Just Feed You listeners community. So we're inviting you to our listeners boards. Free members get direct access to us, as well as our hive mind of busy home cooks, plus access to our recipe archive, shopping guides, and helpful checklists.
That's the free area. But hey, if you have some money and you want to support Didn't I Just Feed You and us being able to put out, what is it, 6 free episodes every single month? One way that you can pitch in is by joining our supporting community. And in return for your support, you get an ad-free stream. You get 2 additional bonus episodes every month. You get live Q&A sessions with us where we literally get on live and talk to you and troubleshoot and solve problems. So to find out more about becoming a member of our supporting community, again, just go to didn'tijustfeedyou.com/community. All the info for all the options is there. And if you decide you want to join us, don't forget about that code.
Juicy.
Get ready to grab your drink. Juicy for 25% off either annual or monthly memberships.
Well, we're reminding you of things. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, where we are at Didn't I Just Feed You. A huge thank you to our producer, Samantha Gatzik. I'm Megan.
And I'm Stacey. Stay sane and well-fed until next week.
Be sure to subscribe to Didn't I Just Feed You wherever you're listening. And don't forget to rate and review.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save.